Hey, welcome back to Crimes and Closets. This is Christy in my closet in St. Louis.
Hi, it's Emery in St. Louis.
Hi, and it's Kelly in St. Louis.
Hey, guys. Beth is not recording with us today. She is on the episode, but not on the intro because she is traveling for the holidays. And so I brought two guests for my intro.
And also, Beth is really hungover today, and that's actually why she's not recording.
Oh, gosh, stop it. I mean, I don't know.
Good possibility.
But anyways, so it's a new year. This is the first episode of 2024, and it's falling on January 1st, and that's really exciting. And we just thought we'd pop in really quick and say hello for, you know, to start the episode. And also, in our family, we have a little bit of a tradition that Emery's going to explain, and then we're going to kind of put it into practice here.
Oh, yeah. It's a pretty simple tradition, which is each night we try to eat dinner as a family if everyone's home. And we start dinner by going around the table and each person shares their favorite part of the day. And it usually yields several minutes of conversation about, you know, favorite part of the day. So rather than it being a dinner complaining about the day or complaining and bickering at each other, we at least get some good things on the table. And so that's our tradition. And then several points throughout the year, like on birthdays, we'll say what's been your favorite part of the year or whatever.
Or of that person.
Yeah, for that
favorite,
person.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yep. So we are going to do that now. We are going to each tell you our favorite part of the year, 2023. So I don't know if you want me to start. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the audience can chime in too with their favorite part.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd love for you to comment on social media or whatever and let us know what your favorite part of the year is. Or maybe Beth will put a post up and ask what your favorite part of 2023 was. Who knows? Yeah,
when she wakes up.
Okay. Well, so we did think about this before doing this. So this was a little bit. We had to think because it's an entire year, 12 months. But my favorite part of the entire year was senior night, which we spoke about on another intro. And my oldest is a senior and they do a thing for sports on the last home game of the season and they honor them. And, you know, the parents walk out with them and you get flowers and they talk about what their plans are for next year. And we had so many people come into town. I don't even remember how many it was, but. Like grandparents, both sets of grandparents, several different friends.
Different states.
I was there.
Yeah. Kelly came in.
Came from five or six different states.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just for that night, to see him for that night. And that was just really cool and awesome. So that was my favorite part of the year. Who's next?
Me? What about you, Kelly?
Oh, well, my favorite part of the year. That was a good part of the year,
yeah,
too. Because it's always fun visiting here.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite part of the year was going to Napa with Christy and a couple other girls and cheering Christy on in a half marathon that I did not run in, but it was fun still cheering her on. And we went to some cool wineries and stayed in the castle. That was really cool. It was just a fun time with my bestie.
Yeah, that was a good one. I like that. How about you, Emery?
Napa is my favorite auto parts store.
Yeah.
So we had a work-related trip over the summer that we pre-extended. So we went out early in order to be there. And it was in Oregon. And I had heard that the Oregon coast was a really beautiful place. The weather is kind of volatile there because it's not generally really warm, like beachy type vibes. And it's windy and all that. But we drove to the coast from Portland to a town called Cannon Beach, and we were able to find a house that was right on the beach, looking out at a famous rock, which Christy might tell you about. But it was just a beautiful place. We went hiking. The weather ended up being pretty spectacular, according to the locals, warm, sunny, so the water sparkled and beautiful sunsets at night. I had also been coming off of hip surgery, so I was starting to feel physically much better. The kids were happy and spending time together. So it was just a really beautiful place. and super happy memory. And anyone who hasn't been to the coast in Oregon, to Cannon Beach specifically, if you have interest, just know that we recommend it highly.
Oh my gosh, yes. And it's also the Goonie Rock. It's my favorite part.
favorite rock of the year.
Haystack. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Rock of the year for sure.
Rock of the year. Oh, those are awesome. Great. Thanks for sharing those, guys. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you joining me here so I didn't have to be by myself.
We got you.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys always got me. That's true. Anyway, so that's about it. And we do have a case for you, and Beth will be joining on that. Also, just a little side note. We are aware that I sound weird. My mic is a little bit messed up and I got a new one, but bear with us for the next few episodes because we did a lot of pre-recording, and, you know, trying to take off in December. So I'm getting a new mic. It should be resolved. Just give us a little bit of time, but thanks for bearing with us. So anyways, hope you enjoy the episode and let us know what you think.
All Happy, right. New Year!
Happy New Year. Goodbye.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This case was sent to us by our listener, Lisa.
Hello, Lisa.
Hello. She sent it to us, I think, on Instagram. Yeah, I believe. I found it. She has no personal connection to the case, just saw it and didn't think there was a whole lot out there on it, and there isn't. And so it'll be fairly cut and dry and open and shut and quick. Okay. But she did find it interesting, and I did too, just because of certain things that happen. It's kind of like eye-catching. And also the other really interesting thing is that the person, the victim in the story, there's another person, the same exact name, that was killed somewhere else. And so at first – I was like, oh, this looks like, wow, like, what case is this? And then I'm like, oh, wait, nope, she said it was from Fresno. And so I put that in, and it's much smaller.
So okay.
I might have to add the other one to my list.
It's like the Murray. The Murray. We had, like, so many. It was, like, three, I think, that last name was Murray, that all had, like, disappeared or suspicious things happened to them or something.
The exact first and last name.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, it's weird. Anyway, okay. But like I said, it's an eye-catching case. It catches your eye when you see the word alien attached to it, which is kind of why I was like, man, I really think I need to do this one.
Yeah. Huh.
Not funny, but you're like, whoa, aliens. Okay. And then you dive in and you realize that this is just another sad case of mental illness that goes untreated. And anyway, which is hence the reason why I want to do it, because I just want to highlight mental illness and get help if you need it and all that. So it's a very underreported case in the sense that not like all, you know, like not every murder is covered extensively in the news. Sometimes it's like, this happened, this is who did it, period. And this is kind of one of those.
Okay.
So basically I got what I got. All right. Amanda Berry was a 44-year-old woman who was living in Fresno, California, I believe with her boyfriend. When you look up a map of Fresno, do you know where that is?
No, I don't really know a lot about California.
Well, I've started to kind of learn a little bit about it, but I didn't know. I've always heard of Fresno, but I just never knew where it was. It's pretty close to like basically the middle of the state of California.
Okay.
Like, kind of in the middle as far as east to west and also north to south.
Okay.
So pretty centrally located. At 7:15 a.m. on November 17th, 1922. Nope, it's 2022.
Oh, wow, recent. Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. This is recent. A man called 911 about a woman who was lying in her front yard, of the front yard of her home, and was unresponsive. The man who placed the call said that he was a friend of hers and he was doing CPR on her until the police arrived at the scene. Amanda, however, would be pronounced dead when the police got there. they thought when they were responding to it that they were just responding to like a medical emergency. Maybe she had like passed out, fainted, something happened as she was like walking down her walk. But not soon after they arrived there, or not, yes, soon after they arrived, they noticed that she had died of a gunshot wound.
Oh.
Yeah. So they're like, wait, nope, that's not what we thought it was.
To where?
It, you know, it's not stated. Like, I can't get an autopsy report. I can't get anything. I have no idea where she was shot. And clearly wasn't – I mean, I would assume it wasn't completely obvious.
Right.
When the friend called.
Yeah, because he was doing CPR on her.
Right. Unless he called because he saw her lying, like, didn't get up to her before he called the police. You know, sees her laying in her front yard, calls the police, then starts to do CPR, and he didn't know to tell that to dispatch that it was a gunshot wound. I don't know. I literally have no idea. Or if he had no clue whatsoever. Because I have no idea where she was shot. But anyway, she died of a gunshot wound. They immediately start questioning neighbors and her boyfriend. No one can think of anyone or any that would want to hurt her, no less kill her. They do find a shell casing near her body, and it would be determined that it came from a 9mm handgun. There's also a flashlight that's next to her body. In questioning some of the neighbors, one of them said that they heard a single gunshot at 12:03 a.m.
Okay.
Why that wasn't recorded or reported, I don't know. I don't.
This happens all the time. People wake up, they hear it, and they're like, is that really what it was? And then after the fact, they're like, oh my gosh, I heard it.
Right.
That's what that was.
Yeah, because also it could be like, I mean, I'm sure that there is a difference, but to me, maybe it could have been a car backfiring or a transformer blowing in the distance. And
you, well, that's like the you thing said, you just don't know. And you're like half asleep. So.
Right.
You listen for a few minutes, see if you hear anything else.
Yeah.
And then if you don't, you're going to go back to sleep.
Right. Yeah. But pretty descriptive to say, at 12:03 is when I heard it.
Right. Well, I mean, if I wake up in the middle of the night like that, for I would look at the clock, I feel like.
True. Okay. True. Fair. Fair. Here I am like throwing people under the bus. You didn't call. You had the exact time. You're like, no, it's okay.
That's okay. That's why we do it together.
Yes. Okay. All right, so later that day, Amanda's boyfriend would see workers from the cell phone company outside working on a tower that was near their house. He goes over to speak to them, and they inform him that they were there to repair the tower because it had been vandalized, and they had, like, there was no cell service in the area from around midnight on November
17th. Oh, okay, interesting.
Just right around when they hear that gunshot. So Amanda's boyfriend was like, well, that's kind of weird. This happened at the same time. Maybe this is like a connection to Amanda. Let me call the police and inform them of what is happening. So the police come out, investigate the cell tower, and they find that someone had tried to cut into the cell tower with some sort of like portable grinder they kept talking about in this.
Okay.
Which I had to look up because I'm like, what's a portable grinder? What is it? Basically looks like a buffing machine, but like you could like put like different heads on it to like cut things or whatever. Okay. So that's what
it
was. Okay. Right. They found a note near the cell phone tower inside the gate that had been broken into, and all these anti-government notes were scribbled onto it with red pen.
Yeah,
things along the lines of this cell phone, this 5G tower is important to the aliens that we're tracking, that are tracking. My. So this person clearly thinks
they're using the cell tower to track him.
Yes, and so he went to destroy this cell tower.
Oh,
so they're able to obtain surveillance footage of the area or somewhere from the area, and on this they see flashes of light around the midnight hour. Which they're assuming is them like trying to, this person trying to cut into the tower. And then they also could have been flashes from a gunshot, I guess, as well. They also see images of a person riding away from the scene on a bike, but no clear images are seen to identify this person.
I wonder if any of them had Ring doorbells that would have caught stuff.
I'm assuming that that's what they got.
Okay.
Again, I'm assuming because there's not details on this case. I'm assuming that that's what they got, but it wasn't like facing that spot, mm-hmm. you know, so they could see like flashes of light from right. it. And then this person rides by, but other than that, they don't have clear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I want to say it's like, well, it's near their house. Clearly she comes out the front door and mm-hmm. sees it's be somewhere like right across the street or whatever. Okay. So it's at this point that they assume that Amanda may have been killed by this person because she startled him or her mm-hmm. in the middle of vandalizing this tower.
Right. And the time frame lines up.
Right. Exactly. So it's like she probably hears this noise happening outside her house. Is like, what's going on? Let me go out there, bringing her flashlight because the flashlight was found next to her. Comes upon her. This person gets scared, shoots her, and flees.
Hmm. How sad. Is that what happened?
Well, yeah. As far as we know, that is what happened. And this is a total, like, just wrong place, wrong time. Like, came out of your house at the wrong time. Because this person is not connected to Amanda at all.
Whoa. That is terrifying.
I know. I know. I know. It makes me not want to go and investigate a noise that's outside my house.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Stay in my bed.
Uh-huh, exactly. So they don't really have much to go on because all they have is that footage. They can't identify him. There's not like they have a, you know, a license plate on the back of the bike or anything. This is a bike.
Right.
So the case just kind of like fizzles out. Investigate some leads, but they can only go so far. Just kind of fizzles out after a couple weeks. That is until December 6th, 2022, when police get reports of shots fired and they go out to the area of Belmont Avenue and North Wintergreen Avenue, which is about 3 miles from where Amanda's house was.
Mm-hmm.
When they arrive there at 2 a.m., they see a man in the vicinity and they shine their flashlight at him to try and like stop him and have a word with him. And the man immediately lifts a gun and shoots at the police vehicle, hitting it and disabling the vehicle.
Oh.
The man flees to a home on Wintergreen Avenue and goes inside, and the police proceed to have an hours-long standoff with this man.
Hmm.
They surround the house and try to make a plan to get him out, and at some point, they get a call from someone, again, don't know who informs them that they believe that the suspect mm-hmm. in the house that they're in, that his parents are also in that house. And so please be on the lookout, like, when you are making your plan to, like, get him. Uh-huh. Know that there are some innocent people in the house.
Yeah,
as well.
Hostages, essentially. Yeah.
So around 3:15, they start to hear a grinding noise, somewhat like a...
Oh my gosh.
And yelling, and then an explosion. So police start to use drones to look for the suspect on the property, and it was determined that he was outside the home. Where? I don't know. And like, why is he just standing there? I have no idea. But they determine he's outside the home. And so they rush in and they smell the strong smell of gas throughout the house and realize that the stove burners had been left on. But they would also soon find out that there was a 500-gallon propane tank on the property that their suspect had intentionally damaged with his grinder.
500 pounds?
Yes.
Is that what you said?
500-gallon.
Oh.
Propane tank.
Whoa.
In one article, it says there was a 5-gallon one and then also this 500-gallon one. But anyway, regardless, there's these propane tanks on the property that he's cutting into.
Oh my gosh.
So police are able to get an elderly couple out of the home who were, in fact, the parents of the suspect. They were like hiding in a bedroom with the door closed. And so he wasn't really keeping them hostage, I don't think. But they were definitely trying to hide from him and didn't know what was happening.
And they were afraid for their lives. Yeah.
Yeah. So they get him out. They identify the suspect as their 32-year-old son, Dennis Hapawana. Hapawana? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They relocate his parents to a safe location, and they continue to try and de-escalate the situation because Dennis is still on the property.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, around 5:15, they see on the drone that Dennis is making his way to the back of the house where the SWAT team is, and that's where he meets the SWAT team.
Okay.
And they attempt to talk him down and also to convince him to drop the weapons he has in his hands, which apparently was a kitchen knife and a hunting knife.
Hmm.
No matter what they did, he kept trying to come at them with these weapons. So the police eventually fire a beanbag round, which I absolutely no idea what it was, so I had to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much exactly what it sounds like. It's a small, like, fabric pillow filled with lead beads.
Mm-hmm.
And it's shot from, I guess, a regular 12-gauge shotgun.
Yeah.
And it's used when lethal force is necessary, but they don't want to like shoot necessarily. This can cause death.
100%
of the time, it's like, oh, someone's in a danger to himself or others, and there's no other options left, and it's intended to disable them without killing them. However, it could kill them if it hits in the right place, I'm assuming.
Right.
So it hits the target, basically, and renders them immobile so then they can take control of the situation. They take this shot, and it still does not deter Dennis, and he continues to come at him. I don't know.
Wow, if, like, that would hurt.
Right? I have no idea where he was shot, like if it was like the leg. I'm assuming it was a person who had a good shot, if it's the police, the SWAT team who's taking this shot. But it's still he's still coming at him. So they have no choice but to shoot Dennis, which is what they did, and he's declared dead at the scene from his injuries. So here we have another week ago, you or 2 weeks ago, you told a case about somebody getting killed and then the suspect is killed. Well,
yeah,
that was a different situation, but same thing here. So
that's sad.
There is much more that the police will find out about Dennis over the coming days through their investigation, though.
Okay.
Okay. So 10 years.
What happened to Dennis?
Yeah, exactly. 10 years prior to this, Dennis was a doctoral student at the University of California, Riverside.
Okay. So
clearly in a much different state than he was in the day he died. He was in a very bad car accident. And after that, his parents said that his mental health declined dramatically and he became extremely paranoid. A few years after his accident, in November of 2015, a doctor diagnosed him with Asperger's syndrome, which I don't know. I think I need to look it up, but I felt that was like strange. That did he all of a sudden have Asperger's syndrome after a car accident?
Yeah, I think, you know, I was just talking to somebody about this recently, actually, how that whole like nature versus nurture when it comes to being like on the autistic spectrum, because we do know that there are kids who were not born with autism, but had like things happen in their life that they didn't develop properly for whatever reason, and they are diagnosed with autism. So it's like developmental autism, or like it developed. You know what I'm saying? Like, as a result of circumstance. So we were just in this big debate about like if that's a real thing or not. Just the other day we were talking about
it. I need to look it up because I didn't think of it, but it makes, I guess it makes sense if a certain part of his brain was injured and then caused him to have some social issues and whatever.
Or just processing issues in general and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. It did say that he was still like high functioning, he was very smart and whatever. But he was diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome. And the report also stated that he had sensory overload, poor social awareness, and ability to deal with changes in his routine and structure.
So, okay.
Which is basically to a T the definition of Asperger's. Dennis never sought treatment or medication for his mental decline. And at the time, there was no way to force him to get treatment because he was functioning and not a threat to anyone. He just, you know, was struggling. He has a robbery conviction on his record from 2016 that he pled guilty to, second degree robbery and assault with a deadly weapon other than a firearm.
Okay.
So I feel like at this point, something should have been done. And now you've escalated and you are robbing and assaulting someone with some sort of weapon. So I feel like at this point, maybe he should have gotten some help. But anyway, he received 3 years probation for this, for pleading guilty. In 2018, he requested his probation be terminated early as he had no prior record and this was granted. So now no one's like keeping an eye on him again. I mean, except I'm sure his parents, but. Okay, so at the scene where he died, they recovered this cordless grinder that he had been using to damage the cell phone tower and the propane tanks on the property. They also found two ghost guns. One was an AR-10 rifle,
I guess.
And the other, you know me in guns, I'm like, is that the right thing?
I have no idea.
And the other was a 9mm handgun.
Oh, what's a ghost gun?
Literally, my next thing is, do you know what a ghost gun is?
No.
Because, again, I
had I thought it was a brand, but then when you listed two different types of guns, I was like, well, that must not be what it is. But okay.
So basically, I went look this up. They are handmade guns that you put together by ordering different pieces off the internet.
So they're not like registered.
Yes. There are like They're 100% illegal, and the parts that you order have no serial numbers and are not registered to anyone.
Oh, okay.
So basically, that's why they're ghost guns, because it's like they don't exist. They're ghosts. Anyway, so somehow, over time, he's ordering these parts over on the internet and putting these guns together. So police also find shell casings from the 9mm handgun on the property. And at some point during that investigation, a couple of the officers start to remember that Amanda Berry murder. And they're like, whoa, she had a 9mm casing near her body. And this is only like a few miles away. And found out that the cell tower was being damaged by a grinder. Just things were like clicking in their heads.
Interesting.
Okay. At the home, they also found notes with similar rants written on them in red ink. They also noticed that it was the same handwriting as the note that was found on the cell tower near Amanda's house. And these notes would have rants about Nazis and parasites and other people that were out to get him. So he is extremely paranoid.
Yeah.
Dennis lived in his parents' house, which was about, like I said, 3 miles away from Amanda's home. So they were like, this is now we're connecting this.
This is crazy.
And he was also known to ride his bike around town. I'm assuming because of his car accident that maybe he wasn't able to drive or whatever. Just that's what he chose to do. So hence the figure riding off on a bicycle. So here it seems like they're just tying these two cases together. And the final
three cases. Honestly, because they had the like vandalism at the cell tower that they coincidentally connected with Amanda's murder, that now they're coincidentally connecting with this situation. This is not, it's crazy.
And I don't know like why he was shooting gun, like why the shots fired call. Like what was happening at that point that he was shooting a gun that got the police called to the scene? Like that, I don't know what was happening. Something's clearly happening, unless he's just shooting guns in the air because he believes the aliens are coming.
Yeah.
I don't know. But we don't know because clearly he has died and can't ask him, like, what's going on? Like, what happened?
Yeah.
Okay. So the final piece that would bring it all together was they decide to test fire that 9mm gun that they found at the scene at Dennis's house. And when they did, they saw that the gun made identical strike marks on the casings as the one that was found at the scene at Amanda's house. So now they know
it was definitely a murder weapon.
Yes. That Amanda was killed during a random act of vandalism by this man who was mentally unstable and convinced that the 5G tower was somehow allowing aliens to access his mind. Dennis's parents also told police that his mental state had been declining significantly in the 3 days prior to his death. So I'm sure possibly shooting and killing someone did not help his mental state. I'm sure it was already in decline, but they said it was seriously in decline those 3 days, and it had been like weeks before. So anyway, it's a really sad case because two lives were lost basically due to this mental illness. Amanda, who was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and Dennis, who clearly snapped for some reason or another. He was so paranoid and ill that he couldn't like just drop his guard down to even surrender at the time that police were trying to get him. So it just is super sad. And he never wanted help. He never wanted to take medication. And I just felt like I said, this is a really quick, concise case, but like, I just felt it was important to like, let's get rid of the stigma of mental illness. Like, go get help. People need to just get help. Watch out for those that you love that might need help. Seek help yourself. You notice a significant decline in someone's mental state, somehow try and get them help, even if it's like they're unwilling to get it. Encourage them to do anything in your power to get them help, because and police were also unaware of his diagnosis and mental state at the time that they shot him.
Right.
I don't know if it would have changed.
I was gonna say, would that have changed it?
Because he was still coming at them, but I don't know. But anyway, regardless.
And I bet that he was like, you were talking about how he didn't want to have medication or get help. I don't know. He probably didn't think he needed it, because in his mind, this was really happening to him.
Yeah.
And everybody else was crazy because they didn't see it.
Right.
So which he's like, I don't need medication. I'm normal. You guys are not seeing things for how it really is. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Something should have been done. on an involuntary level.
I know, but they always talk about how it's like, oh, well, he's not out of harm to himself or others. But how do you know that? Like, how do you really know that? Yeah.
He's not harm yet, but he's so delusional that it's very clear that could happen.
Right. And years before, he did decline to the point where he assaulted somebody, you know, so he did attempt to harm somebody, you know, so I don't know. It's just, it's sad. It is sad all around for everyone involved.
It is. And poor Amanda.
Yeah.
That is just insane. Like, when you say wrong place, wrong time, it's like, what are the odds of a mentally disturbed and delusional person to be riding their bike beside your house in the middle of the night at the exact moment that you walk out and has a gun?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I mean, he was there vandalizing the 5G tower.
So she was just like, investigate. Right. Yeah. But still, I mean, like, gosh. I know. Yeah.
You wouldn't think that that's what's going to happen when you walk, like you hear a noise and you're like, oh, let me go check that out. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all you do is like flash a flashlight, say, because I feel like that's all she did was like shine a flashlight in the direction, because clearly that's what the police did, shone a flashlight and he turned and shot at them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So did you happen to see or read anything about her family and like what have they spoken out at all about? No.
Huh. No, I didn't even know the name of the boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like his name wasn't even in an article. Like it's so crazy. I mean, I get that you cannot like deep dive into every single thing that happens out there, but I don't, no, there wasn't hardly anything out there. So.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All about him, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, more about him than I could find, because then of course it's like, why was this guy shot? And he was cutting propane tanks and there was an explosion on the property. And, you know, like.
Also, I was going to circle back to the beanbag.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you call it? Beanbag.
Beanbag round or something like that.
Yeah. So we had a situation here in Raleigh that I don't know if you heard about this, but that was a young kid who ended up shooting several people like in and around his neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And they said he was like somewhere in a building and was like shooting at the cops and stuff like that. I'm serious. I want to say he was like 14. And they sent in a robot with a beanbag round to shoot and it killed him.
Oh, wow.
Because I guess it just hit him the wrong way or it was too close or something like that. But it ended up killing him, and he was really young. He killed several people. Austin Thompson was his name.
I feel like I remember hearing about
it. Was a really big case here a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so it definitely can. You don't want to get shot with one of those for
sure. No, for sure. No.
But it's crazy that it didn't stop him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Well, thank you for that case. It is quite the episode to start out the year.
Right? I know.
All that's right. 2024 coming in hot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, thank you so much, Lisa, for sending the case in. That was very interesting and very sad. And we do always like to highlight any situation that we feel like might make things better, you know? And the mental health things that you said is absolutely spot on. So, yeah, thank you very much for diving into that as well as you did and for telling Amanda's story. I'm glad they found him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they were good police work, connected it all together, and they know who and a kind of why, but not really. It's just so random and scary and sad. So I'm sad for her family. Thank you guys for joining us. We're in another year.
I know.
It's crazy. So we're going to be year 4 pretty soon for us, our 4-year podiversary in a couple months. That's wacky. we'll have to figure out what we're going to do. We appreciate you guys very much. And so we know that we're going to come back every Monday because that's what we like to do. We have a Patreon, super fun things going on over there. If you like what you hear and want more, that's just $3 a month. We hope everybody had a great holiday season. And come find us on Instagram and Facebook. And we have that thread thing. Is that what it's called? Threads or whatever. Yeah. I do post to that. So we've got it. So yeah, come find us on all things. Let us know what you think. Let us know how your New Year's was. Probably everybody slept in this morning. So yeah. That's cool. Let us know what you did. And always remember, the world is scary. People suck. Hide in your closet.